We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
By the way, you can go ahead and get your Valentine messages out. If you want to say something wonderful to your significant other, male or female, you can get us on the phones.
Even if your significant other is a football team, please.
Yeah, why not?
Talk to us about how much you love Gamecock football.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, show some love. It's all about showing some love here on Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate. You excited about Valentine's Day?
I am. I'm cooking my lady dinner tonight.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, nice.
Well, she asked, she goes, what are you cooking? I was like, I can't tell you. She goes, well, you can only cook two things.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of those two things.
Okay, what are the two things?
Spaghetti.
Yeah.
And some really good fajitas.
Okay.
So that's what I cook really well.
Okay, so I'm assuming you're going with spaghetti then. Yeah. There you go. Looking forward to that, I'm sure. Yeah, you gotta love Valentine's Day. It is what it is. A lot of people don't like it. Anytime people are sharing love, I'm okay with that, man. Love's a beautiful thing.
You know, the thing is, we're like, all right, let's cook dinner tonight, and then let's go go-kart racing on the weekend. She goes, yeah, that's a great idea.
All right. I love
that.
Yeah, that's a good
Valentine's
idea.
Day should be fun for both of you. It shouldn't be like she gets everything, and you just got to spend a lot of money on crap that you don't need.
Exactly. I'm down with that. So you got some good go-kart racing places around here?
There's two. There's two really good ones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I had never gone go-kart racing until, like, recently, until, like, a couple months ago. Went for the first time, man.
Ever even as a kid?
I'd been in a go-kart a couple times, but I didn't do races. I just went in, like, a go-kart in, like, a parking lot or something.
Oh, man, you're missing out. Myrtle Beach has a great go-kart place. Grand Prix of Myrtle Beach.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah. How far is Myrtle Beach from here?
3 hours?
Oh, okay, that's a bit of a drive. Can I drive the go-kart to Myrtle Beach?
It might take you a little longer.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, but I tell you, man, I love go-kart racing. I went for the first time, man. I had a blast. You get a rush from it. You really do. I'll take go-kart racing over climbing.
It depends on which ones you go to. Do you go to the ones that you can race against people head-to-head where you got to beat and bang into people?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to the ones that have the really fast go-karts that are time trials? Because that's fun, too. We got one of those here.
Yeah.
Whew.
Do they have any of them with the slick tracks here where you're spinning all over the place? I went on one where I'm racing against like 10 other people, but the track was really slick. So you're spinning out everywhere. It's fun.
Love it.
Yeah, absolutely love me some go-kart racing. We got an hour left? A little less than an hour left on the show today. 54 minutes. Tomorrow we will be filling in for Mark Ryan. It'll be my last day here. We'll be filling in for Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's going to be a quickie tomorrow, though. Only an hour and a half. We'll be getting out for Clemson baseball.
Yeah, if you want Pants to stick around, email Mark Hendricks. Let him know.
Yeah.
Let him know how much you enjoyed Pants filling in.
Heck yeah. Does he have a Twitter?
I don't think he does.
Oh, okay. It'd be great if we could blow up his Twitter.
Yeah. I wonder what do you think Mark Hendricks' avatar on Twitter would be?
Oh, that's a good question. So what is he? You know him a lot better than I do.
Right.
I just met him. So
his avatar in my phone
is
just a white balloon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I could see that. Why a white balloon?
Because he's bald.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That makes sense. Well, what are his favorite teams?
He's a Dallas Cowboy. He's one of those guys.
Why?
He's from Iowa.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm not sure that he's a Hawkeyes fan because I know he didn't go to Iowa.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in Iowa, who you want to be a Cyclone or do you want to be a Hawkeye?
Yeah, neither. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Are you gonna rock like the how about the Iowa Barnstormers from the old
there
Arena Football League? Kurt Warner played for the Barnstormers. Barnstormers is one of the best nicknames in sports.
I'm honestly surprised that the NFL franchises haven't found a way to license some of these old defunct league jerseys and start selling them.
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
they're
make
great.
Some money.
I would totally rather wear one of those than a modern jersey.
No,
I'd care about that.
Yeah, you'd stick out. It's cool, you know. Yeah, you wear an old school like I like the old XFL jerseys. When you actually watch some of the old footage of XFL games, the jerseys weren't bad. The uniforms weren't bad. I like these AFL jerseys, or AAF jerseys, sorry. These uniforms aren't bad. I like it because these other leagues, they're willing to take more chances. They don't care, man. They just want you to watch, so they'll do anything. They'll dress up like mailmen. They don't care, man. It's like the NFL jerseys are kind of conservative, especially like the older ones. Like, there are so many teams in the NFL that just need updates, man.
Like, see, you and Sturge could have an hour conversation about this. He loves the old school, you know, no frills, solid color, Alabama, Penn State kind of jerseys.
He likes Alabama. I know he's a Bama guy.
Yeah, he's a Bama grad. Yeah. So, but he loves those just classic uniforms. He hates the Maryland jerseys. He hates the Oregon jerseys. He hates all this.
How can he hate Oregon?
He hates all these because it's not the same every week.
Yeah. No,
how am
I
supposed
that to
turn on the TV and know who I'm watching? It says it down in the bottom right corner.
There you go. Yeah, Oregon.
It says it right there.
They're wearing green and yellow every game. It's a different combination of green. Sometimes it's darker green. Sometimes it's lighter. Sometimes they're more yellow, less yellow. But, yeah, it's green and yellow, man.
The Duck jerseys were the best ones. The ones with the orange socks, orange shoes, and the orange face mask.
Oh,
fantastic.
Phenomenal. I love what college football is doing. I think that's so smart because it's, number one, it's a better way. It's a different way to market your team. It's a way to make more money for your university by selling more of these crazy jerseys. And with college football, man, I'm telling you, these kids, like high school kids, part of where they go now is the uniform. Yeah, Alabama, of course, they're going to stand out because Nick Saban's going to get you to the pros. That's what he does. That's why Alabama gets the recruits that they do. But other than that, man, these kids want to look fresh. People want to look good on the field. That's part of it. You want to be able to wear, I think it's, if you're 17 years old, if you're 16, 17 years old, you're going to look at like those fresh Oregon uniforms. You're like, man, I want to wear those on Saturdays.
Plus, it's a great way to just market to fans,
yeah,
to young fans.
Yep.
And hey, this is the league of football that's fresh and exciting and different and new.
Yeah, and it's a way to get people talking about your team if they weren't talking about you before. A couple of years ago, the Gators, the Florida Gators, wore these weird uniforms where they actually looked like alligators. They had like scales on their uniforms.
Horrible.
And a lot of people didn't like them. They did not have like a high approval rating at all. Everybody on Twitter was just crushing them, but people were still talking about them.
That's right. And I guarantee you, they sold more than a couple thousand of them.
Heck yeah, no doubt. And like,
at $50 or $100 a pop, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, and when it comes to like these, you know, these NFL teams with like the Colts have had the same uniforms forever. Man, freshen that look up. I mean, tradition's fine. That's okay, but it's time for something new, man. I don't know. Like, the Colts need new uniforms. The Chiefs really need new uniforms.
Yeah.
Another team, I think, hitting a little closer to home, I think it's time for the Panthers to switch up those uniforms. They've had the same unis basically since they started.
I even like not switching it up that much, just tweaking it.
Yeah.
You know, just imagine a Clemson helmet with a huge tiger paw on it.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
You know, not this little one that's like a 4x6 or a 5x5 kind of square.
Yeah.
Give me a huge logo on the side. Missouri did that a couple of years ago.
Sure, yeah.
When they went with that giant tiger on the side of their helmet. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it looked great.
My Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they made their logo much bigger on their helmets a few years ago. It covers basically the entire side. I'm totally down with that. I like, too, another thing that a lot of college teams are doing. Louisville was one of the first teams to do this. Notre Dame, too. I love the metallic helmets. Those look dope.
Like, ooh, I don't see.
I like those.
I think it's a competitive advantage. Maybe trying to like
blind
the other guys. And you know, I give Boise State credit for it. It was sneaky. They eventually got clapped for it. But when they were wearing the blue jerseys on the blue field, it's hard to see them.
Of course, yeah.
You
that's
know,
why
when
they
everything's
did it.
Moving so fast, it's hard to see those guys.
And I like blue fields too. Give me every color. Give me red fields. I'd love to see like a team that wears
Eastern Washington. They've got that.
They got a red field.
Yep.
I'd love to see a team that wears like you're talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes. They have black jersey. How about a black field? How cool would that look? You know, like
I think there's a team in Arkansas that has a gray field.
Oh, really?
With purple end zones.
What?
Yeah, it's
that's
odd.
Cool. Yeah, I like that. Odd is good, man. Be different. Yeah, normal's boring. Everybody's normal.
Coastal Carolina's got the teal field.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't look as weird because it's kind of a green color.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it still looks a little weird.
I love it, though, because you're Coastal Carolina. If you're on the coast, you get a field that looks like water. It kind of looks like the ocean. You're playing on the – I think that's great.
It looks like just faded, really old AstroTurf.
Oh, yeah?
Just sun-faded AstroTurf.
Yeah, maybe that's all it is. But I don't know. I love it when teams try new things. I'm totally on board with that. So – The NFL looks like that the Thursday night game to kick off the season, it might not be the Patriots this year. I think this is very interesting. It might not be the New England Patriots. Of course, every year, the defending Super Bowl champion, they get to host the first game of the year. But this year is the 100th anniversary of the NFL. So there's talks of having the opening game on Thursday night actually being the Packers versus the Bears, because those are the two oldest teams in the NFL. And I'm totally on board with that. Screw the Patriots. I don't want to see them raising another banner anyway. Put them on Sunday at 1 o'clock where you don't even have to watch them. Like, they have them play the Jets in a game that's only shown in the Northeast. I'd be totally okay with that. But what they'll probably do is they'll have the Patriots play the opening Sunday night game and then have this one have Packers and Bears open the season, because the NFL is really going to hit this NFL 100 thing hard. That commercial, that promo they ran during the Super Bowl was the only good thing about the Super Bowl, really, when you think about it. It was a four-hour broadcast, and that 2 minutes was the only thing entertaining in the whole broadcast. So they did a good job with that, but they're going to hammer this NFL 100 thing, as they should. 100th anniversary is a pretty big deal. So, yeah, do you have any problem with the Packers and the Bears opening up next year?
None. I don't want to see the Patriots at all.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm totally on board with that. Another thing that leaked the other day as well, looks like the Thanksgiving games have leaked. The schedule's not out. The schedule doesn't come out until, April, I don't think. But it looks like the Cowboys are going to play the Miami Dolphins on Thanksgiving, and the Lions are going to play the Bears. Those are two blah games right there. I'm not excited about those games at all. Do you get excited for football on Thanksgiving?
I can't.
What do you mean?
I mean, because the games just aren't that good.
Yeah.
The games aren't good. A, I'm sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not giving me a good game, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go. I'm not one of those guys who's going to sneak out and go to the pre-Black Friday. I mean, Black Friday sales are now going to be happening on Tuesday.
Oh, exactly.
Because every year it creeps up just a little bit farther. I try, because it's really the only thing on, and it's not time for a Christmas story yet.
Yeah.
I wish they went, instead of 24 hours of a Christmas story, give me 2 weeks of a Christmas story.
2 weeks of a Christmas story.
I watch it over and over again. I love that movie.
I do enjoy Thanksgiving football just because of fantasy football purposes. I always usually got one Lion on my team for some stupid reason. Actually, I don't. I haven't had a Lion since Barry Sanders, I don't think. But I'll still put it on. I'll usually watch the Lions game and then eat around 4. And then I'm done, and I can barely stay awake for the Cowboys game. But this got me thinking. Thanksgiving is the NFL's holiday, and there are several days in the sports calendar that certain sports own those days. And I wanted to have a discussion with you, Diesel, and I wanted to have a discussion with you guys out there in listener land. What is the best day of the calendar year in sports? You can hit us up on the phone lines if you'd like at 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776 or 3776, whichever you prefer. Or you can get us on our text line, our Health Dare text line, 71307, keyword ESPN, followed by your message. What is the best day of the sports calendar? Is it Thanksgiving? Is your favorite day Thanksgiving to watch sports? Is it New Year's Day? New Year's Day is a great day. You get the traditional bowl games. You get the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Cotton Bowl. Sometimes you might get like a playoff game of some sorts. You have the Winter Classic in hockey. New Year's Day is always popular. The College Football National Championship. Is that the greatest day of the sports calendar? What about AFC and NFC Championship Sunday? That's a lot of people like that better than the Super Bowl, because you get two games. What about Super Bowl Sunday? Day one of the NCAA tournament. Major League Baseball opening day. How about Sunday at the Masters? The opening night of the draft. What about the first Saturday in May? That's an underrated day. The Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby, usually the first Saturday in May. Also on that first Saturday, there's usually a big fight. I like that day because it's usually, you know, around May 5th or so. You have the Kentucky Derby in the daytime, and then you have Mayweather would fight a lot on that first Saturday in May, so you get sports all day. What about the first Saturday of college football season, or the first Sunday of the NFL season? Rivalry weekend, that's a big day. Christmas Day for basketball. College football national semifinals. Diesel, do you have a favorite day of the sports calendar that you love?
New Year's Day.
For bowl games?
New Year's Six bowl games, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, New Year's Day is fun. Yeah, I enjoy New Year's Day as well.
I mean, you get, in theory, a lot of really good football games.
Yes.
All on the same day. It's just a marathon day of football.
And you get, and with the bowl games, and I don't like the crappy bowl games. Like, the December bowl games do nothing for me. I don't care about the Poinsettia Bowl or the Weed Eater Bowl or whatever, the Tax Slayer Bowl. I don't care about any of those bowls. But New Year's Day is kind of cool because you have the pageantry, you have the tradition, and more important than that, to me, is you have the fresh matchups. You get to see teams like Texas versus Ohio State, or, you know, Clemson, now they're in the national championship every year, or Clemson versus USC or something like that. I enjoy those.
It's fun. I've got a buddy of mine who's my same age who can't stand the bowl system. He doesn't care. They're all exhibition games. I mean, they absolutely care. Or they absolutely matter. He thinks they don't matter.
I don't know.
How do they not matter? But, you know, going back to December bowl games, if you're going to have a December bowl game, have the first bowl game. That's the only one anyone's going to watch.
I don't know. Do people even watch that one?
If you're a Penn State fan or if you're a Texas fan, you'll watch it just because you haven't seen a football game in 2 weeks.
So you're gonna watch the Idaho Potato Bowl with Penn State against against Central Idaho.
No, you got to watch the Camellia Bowl. It's like the only one on.
I'm good. I don't need football that bad in my life. I'm okay taking a break. It's like I haven't watched a December bowl game in, I don't know, 25 years. I don't remember. I can't watch. If it's on December 16th, I'm not watching.
But I'm a Group of Five alum, so I watch them for that reason, because I like to see what my peers are going to do.
Okay, yeah, I got you. That makes sense for you. I'd say it's tough to say what my favorite day of the sports calendar is, because there's a lot of good ones here. I really like day one of the NCAA tournament. That's a good one, too. And day one could be considered day one and day two because it's the same day, same round. But I love that opening Thursday of the NCAA tournament because you take off from work and you start drinking at like noon. And you're watching basketball from about 12:20 p.m. all the way until about 12:20 a.m. And you're drinking the whole time and you started getting all the upsets. And I absolutely love it. What's your favorite day of the sports calendar? We'd love to hear from you guys. Let's get Carson on the line. What's going on, Carson?
What's going on, man? I was just going to say the best day from a racing standpoint is the Sunday before Memorial Day, because in the morning you've got F1 at Monaco. Go straight into the Indy 500, and then you end with the Coke 600, jam pack, just nothing but racing.
You're watching all three races? You stay up for all three? Because I know the Monaco one is in the morning, so you're actually up for it. Yeah. You don't fall asleep.
No, all day from Monaco to the end of the 600.
That's a lot of racing, man. And thank you very much for the call. I'm not a racing guy. It's not really my thing per se, but that's, if you're a racing fan, that's a huge day. That's a marathon. That's one thing I really want to do, though. I want to start, I need to start making some money first, but I want to start going to sporting events, like non-traditional sporting events, like that aren't like the Super Bowl. Everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl, but I want to go to Wimbledon, and I really want to go to Monaco. Like, I want to see, that would be like, that's like a top five bucket list thing for me, is to go to Monaco and hang out and watch a race there. And then like go to, like, dress up in a tuxedo and go to the casinos and wear a monocle and just be cool like that. I want to be that guy.
I think you'd have a blast at the Derby.
Oh, the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, you got to go to the Derby and just get really to the nines dressed up.
Yeah, no, I'd love to go to the Derby, man. Absolutely. Yeah, it's on my list. Yeah, I'd love to go to the Kentucky Derby. First Saturday in May, man. One of the best sporting events in the world. I'd love to do that. Wimbledon, Monaco, Kentucky Derby, all that stuff, man. Yeah, baseball, football, basketball, that's been done.
I always just love the fact that the Daytona 500 is the Super Bowl of racing, yet it's the first race of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, is it because there's been so much anticipation built up to it? I mean, racing is a weird thing. It's, you know, you can have a winner. Mm-hmm. And I know NASCAR has tried to tweak the rules so that it doesn't happen, but you used to be, you'd have runaway winners and the champion was determined with four or five races to go.
Yeah. Now with the new chase system or whatever it's called. Yeah. You don't really know.
So they've tried to eliminate that, but still, it's the first week of the year. It's Daytona. It's one of the faster tracks. I mean, I get it, but it's still, it's just always weird to me that the biggest event is the first one.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like golf, too. The Masters is the first major, and that's the biggest one. It's not the first tournament, though. That's true. You have other tournaments leading up to the Masters, so it's not the first tournament of the year, but the first major of the year. Daytona 500, first race of the year, boom. Could you imagine if the Super Bowl was played in September? if the NFL just decided, well, the Patriots are going every year, we're just going to put the Patriots in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year, and we'll have a rotating cast in the NFC and just have them play an NFC team every year in the Super Bowl on like September 7th, and then you just play the regular season and that's it. That's basically what NASCAR is doing
right now. Let's try it.
Yeah, why not? I'm down to stick it. I'm down to throw some stuff against the wall. All right. Coming up next, I want to talk about, did you see Joel Embiid? Did you see what happened almost happened in the game last night at Madison Square Garden? Joel Embiid almost killed an actress last night. We'll talk about that, and we're also going to play a little game called Would You Rather? That's on the other side. You're darn tootin', Mr. Announcer Guy. It is ESPN Upstate. It is Straight Up with Sturge. I am not Sturge. I am Pants. You can call me Pants. You can call me Jeff if you'd like. Jeff Pantridge filling in for Sturge, hanging out with Diesel, hanging out with you until 7 o'clock. If you're just tuning in and you're wondering where the heck Sturge is, I mean, where have you been? Sturge has been out for, what, like a month now, right? But he is making his he will be back next week on Tuesday. Really looking forward to getting him back. So did you see, Diesel, did you see this Joel Embiid last night diving into the stands? Have you seen in the
They've
footage?
Been replaying it all day.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Joel Embiid last night. I gotta respect the hustle. I mean, it's a regular season NBA game, and you're playing the Knicks. And he went all out for a loose ball, jumps into the stands, and he almost killed an Oscar-nominated actress, Regina King. Regina King, you know her. She won the Golden Globe for If Beale Street Could Talk. There's a very good chance she could win the Oscar this year coming up for best actress in a leading role. She's a phenomenal talent. She's been in a ton of movies. I wish I had time. I should pull up her IMDb. But she was Rod Tidwell's wife in Jerry Maguire. She was his wife, and that she's been in everything. She's been in a ton of movies. And Joel Embiid jumped. She was sitting courtside at MSG, and he jumped over her and almost completely trucked her, but ended up taking out a statistician instead. So nobody cares about the statistician's probably dead.
I mean, that means there's still hope in this world if she still has enough clout to get courtside seats at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, so she almost got killed. And he took out this score or whatever. And well, who knows what's going to happen with him? Hopefully, like, he broke him off some money or something, man. Because, like, well, let me ask you this. This made me think of playing a would you rather game. Would you rather get trucked by an NBA player? Like, would you rather be sitting courtside at an NBA game and get absolutely just trucked by, like, Joel Embiid, or get hit with a foul ball at a baseball game?
Oh, the first one.
NBA,
give me Joel Embiid because, A, it's going to be retweeted and retweeted and retweeted over thousands and thousands of times.
Foul ball is not going to.
And foul ball, maybe somebody will see it. Maybe somebody will retweet it. So give me the NBA all day. And maybe the NBA will throw me something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know? Throw you some shoes or something. I don't know. But yeah,
why not?
Foul ball, if you get hit with a foul ball, like if you get hit in the head, they'll give you something. They'll give you like a bat or something. But, you know, you don't want to get hit in the head. Yeah.
Hopefully it's not the bat that was used to hit me in the head.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So I'd rather get trucked by Embiid, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a better story.
You're going to be more Twitter famous.
Yeah, you're going to be more Twitter famous. It's probably going to hurt less. Like, getting hit with a baseball sucks, man. And, like, because you could die if you get hit in the head.
Yeah.
And if you get hit with a foul ball, you're kind of a dumbass for not paying attention to the game. Where basketball, if you're sitting courtside and Embiid trucks you, that's not really your fault. What are you going to do?
Do you remember the videos that came out probably 2 years ago? It was just a gaggle of teenage girls all at a baseball game, not one of them watching the game. Yeah. I just wish a foul ball could have hit all of them at once.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. I have seen those videos before. Like, you're at a baseball game. Watch the game. You know, like, come on. I can't stand that when people.
It's hard
do
for
that.
Me to watch baseball on television, but yeah. I'm in it when I'm watching it
oh, yeah.
at a stadium.
Oh, yeah, because I'm terrified I'm going to get hit with a ball. So, like, I never, and if I'm with people, I'm making sure they're watching the game too. Like, you put your phone down, you don't get hit in the head.
Right.
They're deadly missiles. So, yeah, you got to protect your neck, as Wu-Tang used to say. I guess. Go ahead.
I want to answer these Twitter Twitter responses earlier. Question, do you think Clemson could beat any of the teams from the AAF? How many?
Yes.
One or two? Half of them? All of them? And looking through these responses, Charlie Dog says all of them. Tar Heel Greg to Heaven says with this year's team, I think Clemson could beat all of them. Todd says haven't seen enough of the AAF. But I feel certain they could beat a few of them at least with this past year's team. And see, Michael asks, has the AAF released their standards for PED intake? Need to know that first before I give a hot take. There has to be a level playing field.
Who do you think would win, Clemson versus the AAF Super Bowl winner?
Oof. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm still going to give it to Clemson.
I'm giving it to Clemson, too.
Yeah.
I think, because I think Clemson this year and Alabama, all year, people, all of us, maybe not here. I'm sure a lot of people thought Clemson was going to win the game here. But Clemson was good all year. But everyone was saying nationwide that Alabama team was the best team that they had ever seen because they had the Alabama defense and then they added Tua. And they were just, Alabama was just rolling fools all year. So if Alabama was the best team that anyone had ever seen and Clemson rolled them up by 28 points, I'd roll with Clemson too. I think Clemson could beat the AAF's best team because first thing you do is you look at the quarterback situation. I'll take Trevor Lawrence over any of those clowns in the AAF.
You tell me John Wolford and a 35-year-old running back are going to be able to beat Clemson? No, they're not.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, I think Clemson would. I wonder what the line would be. I'm sure Clemson would be favored.
Yeah, if they had to play an all AAF schedule.
Yeah. They wouldn't go undefeated.
I don't think they'd go undefeated. No. They might drop one, mm-hmm. but they'd win the title game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to weigh in on that, you can hit us up on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. I'm at Pants Party Radio, at Diesel on Radio. All right, Diesel, you ready for some more Would You Rather?
Let's do it.
All right, how about this? It's a Would You Rather sports edition. Would you rather watch a regular season game courtside, speaking of Joel Embiid and trucking people, or a high-stakes playoff game from the rafters?
Ooh. Playoff game from the rafters.
Why?
Because at least you're at a playoff game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm going courtside, man. That's an experience.
For a regular season game?
Yeah. Have you ever sat courtside before? Yeah. I never have. That'd be cool, man.
I mean, maybe it's because I've been on the field for a lot of football games.
Yeah.
And so I've been there close by for big events. But I don't know.
I've been on the field for football games, too. I've never been courtside. And I've been courtside for college games, but, mm-hmm. like, courtside for an NBA game, like, courtside at MSG or the Staples Center.
Courtside for a playoff game, I'm into.
Oh, yeah. But, like, you're telling me, like, if you had a chance to sit next to Jack Nicholson at the Staples Center in January, you wouldn't take that versus a playoff game in the rafters? Give me courtside, man.
Fair enough. Agree to disagree.
All right. How about this one? Would you rather retire as a forgotten coach with a winning record or a famous coach known to lose championships?
Famous coach, because he'll get another job.
Yeah, and he's made more money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you're known, but you're known as a loser, even though you keep, like, you're basically Andy Reid. Like, Andy Reid, he'll continue to get jobs because he's a damn good coach. Andy Reid's one of the top five coaches in the league. But he's known for blowing I think he's 1-6 in championship
Ouch.
Games. Yeah, he's not good when it matters much or when it matters most. I think I'd rather be the guy that loses the championships, too, I think. Would you rather be an average player with a good reputation or an elite player with rumors of cheating?
Elite player.
Yeah.
Give me that money.
Give the money.
Yeah. Money.
Yeah. No, yeah. I say this all the time. When people would get, you know, bag on Alex Rodriguez and like, oh, you're not going to the Hall of Fame. You took roids. Well, that dude made $500 million.
Cash is a wonderful salve.
Shoot me up with everything you have. I would take every steroid known to earth if you're going to guarantee me I'm going to make $500 million. I don't care if you.
You're telling me Mark McGwire would give it all back?
No way.
Just to be known as a clean ball player?
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
no, absolutely not. Kids, if you're listening, do steroids. They'll get you far. All right. No, how about this one? Would you rather coach a college or a professional team?
Oof. College.
Me too.
It's more fun. I love college football.
I love it too. I'm an NFL guy more than a college guy, but I love college football too. But if I had to coach one, you'd rather coach a college team because you don't have to deal with, you're not dealing with prima donnas.
Right. You're dealing with people who want to be there.
If you're coaching an NFL team, how can you, it's hard. I would think it'd be hard to coach people that make more money than you. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to be somebody's boss if they make more than you. In college, they don't make anything, so you're everybody's boss, and they respect you, they fear you. You know, like I would much rather do it for those reasons and just the whole college experience. And you're a god if you coach a college team. Dabo Swinney is a god. Like he'll never get fired. He's got the ultimate security. Dabo Swinney could be the coach of Clemson for the next 30 years if he wants to, and he'll continue to be a god. Where the NFL, it's just not like that, unless if you're Bill Belichick. And then if you're Bill Belichick, you have to live with yourself every
day. One good thing about being a pro coach is if you get fired, another pro team will hire you.
That's true. Yeah.
College, you know, there's a whole lot of job security in just making it to the league as a head coach.
Yeah, and they just become a retread your whole life. I'm so tired of seeing the same guys getting hired in the NFL. How about this one? Would you rather have really cool uniforms? We were talking about uniforms earlier. Would you rather have really cool uniforms or with a rundown stadium? I'm talking about for your team, or a state-of-the-art stadium with ugly uniforms? Like if you're going to see your team play.
Give me the uniform. Oh, as a fan or as a player?
As a fan. We'll go with as a fan.
Yeah. Oof. Give me the uniforms.
You want the uniforms in the back stadium?
I want the uniform. I can look over, you know, dirty stadium. I can look over all that stuff. For a good-looking team.
Especially if you don't have to go to the games.
Yeah.
If you could just choose to watch the games on TV.
Imagine playing in who's got a palace? Baylor. Yeah. Imagine playing in Baylor's palace of a stadium.
Yep.
And you're watching guys wearing all gray or all like baby puke green.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, that'd be bad. I agree with you on that one. How about this one?
Or turd brown.
Turd brown.
Turd brown uniforms.
A turd brown plays with Poop Johnson. We had that in our first hour. We had some breaking news. Poop Johnson just signed with the Toronto Argonauts. It's slow news day. What do you want? All right. How about this one? Would you rather have a long average playing career or have a short fantastic playing career cut short by injury?
Short fantastic because you got money.
Yeah, I'd go short and fantastic too because I want to be great.
And you're famous.
You're famous. You're great. I want to be looked at as, you know, as one of the greats. All right. One more. You got time for one more?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. All right. Would you rather win one championship over the next 10 seasons and not go to the playoffs for the other 9 or go to the playoffs 10 times out of 10 and not win a championship?
Oof. Championships are forever. Give me the title. Give me the one title.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm giving the title.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'll take the title too.
Let me ask you one. Would you rather? Would you rather go an entire season of your favorite sport, NFL football or college football or whatever, without getting to know any of the results while it's happening? So you have to wait until the end
to find out the results.
Yeah, you have to wait till the end of the season to find out the result. Or you're allowed to watch the games, but you know the results before you watch them.
Oh, I'd rather wait until the end.
Okay.
I can't watch a game if I know the score. It's like you can't DVR a sporting event. I've tried. It just and because you got to stay away from
it's
Twitter.
It's so hard to shut yourself off from.
Yeah,
it.
you got to turn your phone off and shut yourself off. No, I once you know the score, you can't watch it. What about you?
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I can't know in the score. But I have once or twice watched the same game 2 or 3 times.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm
a nutty App State fan, so I've watched the App State Michigan game probably 3 times.
Oh, I've done that before. I've watched like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers NFC Championship win over the Eagles in 2002. I've watched that probably 10 times.
Start to finish, or do you fast forward to the good parts?
Start to finish. Yeah. Okay. I just watched it actually for the first time in years. I watched it like a month ago. I was like, you know what? YouTube, let me watch this game. It brought up some good memories. Bucks haven't won a playoff game in 15 years. I need something. I need some joy in my life. All right. Coming up next, I don't know how much joy this guy has in his life. And I'm talking about Matt Kuchar's caddy. I'm sure you've heard the story. Everybody's been talking about it. Matt Kuchar stiffing his caddy. Was it the right? Obviously, it wasn't right the move, but we'll talk about that next. Little less than 15 minutes to go on the old program. Do they say program here? Or do they say program? Like, you know, like when you're talking about, I love it when people talk about like a college football team, they say the program. Do they say program here? I like program.
You can.
Yeah, I like program. Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, about 14 minutes left in the program. It is straight up with Sturge, without Sturge. Jeff Pantridge filling in. Diesel hanging out as well, hanging out with you guys for a little bit longer. Tomorrow we'll be on filling in for Mark Ryan. We're going to fill in for Offsides with Mark Ryan tomorrow from 1 to 2:30. Just a quick show, and because we got Clemson baseball tomorrow. Ping! It's college football or college baseball season. Gotta love it. So looking forward to that, hanging out with you guys with a different audience. We'll get to hang out with the midday audience tomorrow. Totally, a lot of times, totally different audiences. Usually there's only about like five or six people that listen to the whole day.
Matt Scherzer is freaking me out over your left shoulder. I didn't know that he had two different color eyes.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Max Scherzer. Me out. Yeah, he's always had. Yeah, he's always been known for that. It's the first time you've seen him, huh? Yeah.
He's an ocular albino.
That's why he's so good at pitching, because you can't hit a baseball after you look at that.
When he's really thorough, he likes to cross his T's and dot his lowercase J's.
I see what you did there. Yeah, not bad. Yeah, no, he's always had the two different. If you had two different color eyes, would you keep them, or would you just wear a contact lens and have them be the same? I'd want to be different. I think I'd rock the two different color eyes.
I'd wear the contact that makes the normal one look like the weird one.
Okay, yeah. So you have two weird ones.
Yeah.
But you just need balance in your life.
Correct.
You wouldn't want to have the two, you know, asymmetric eyes.
That's, sure.
That certainly wouldn't work. I don't know. I think I'd keep the weird eyes. I think I'd go with a different one.
People know you for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like Anthony Davis with the unibrow. Of course, you think he wants to keep a unibrow? No. He looks ridiculous.
But he's branded for it now.
He's branded for it. He can't shave it. Like Michael Strahan for years, like years ago, like he's got that gap tooth. And he's like, that's my thing. I could fix my teeth right now. I got $75 billion. But I'm known for my gap teeth. So you
Anthony
keep
Davis's
it,
eyebrows look like the way I used to draw birds.
Yeah, pretty
as
much.
As a child.
Yeah, that's very good. I like that. That's true. Yeah. Like Bob Ross. Hey, we're going to draw a little bird right here. Put a little tree right here. I'm sure you guys have heard this Matt Kuchar story, right? Golfer Matt Kuchar won some tournament. I don't even know what the tournament was. If it's not a major, I don't care. Yeah, I do like watching majors. I won't sit there and watch it all weekend. I'm not going to watch Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and just sit and watch golf for hours at a time. But Sunday, I'm in, man. And Saturday, too, I'll watch a little bit, especially if Tiger's in the hunt. You know, I'm definitely down. But Matt Kuchar won a tournament, and he so I guess it's typical if you're a golfer and you win a tournament, standard operating procedure is to throw your caddy some dough. He won $1.3 million for winning the tournament, and your standard operating procedure is to throw your caddy 10% of your winnings. They kind of have a scale. Like if you finish in the top 10, you give your caddy 7% of your winnings. If you finish in the top 20, you give them 5%, whatever it is. But if you win the tournament, you break your caddy off 10%. It's like because your caddy helped you win the tournament. First off, man, if you're a caddy and you're getting $130,000, why aren't we caddies, man? Like, how hard can being a caddy be? I don't know. You don't even have to play.
Just give them a club and say, hit it.
Yeah, here you go. Here, use the seven.
That's your only job is to memorize the ranges.
Yeah.
On the course.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
From this point, yeah, that's another 175 yards.
Exactly. I could do that. I can just guess. Yeah. Yeah, why are we doing the stupid radio thing? Let's be caddies. Can we just join the PGA Tour and be caddies?
Go.
Yeah, I'm ready. So caddies get paid. I had no idea they made that much money. But props to them. But apparently this dude, though, David Ortiz, he doesn't. He doesn't make that. David El Tucan Ortiz, he only got $5,000. He got a $5,000 tip. From Matt Kuchar. Like Kuchar made $1.3 million. He broke him off 0.038% of his winnings. Like, come on, bro. Really?
But the 10% is for full-time PGA caddies, and this guy is not that.
Yeah, no, he was a replacement.
At least give him half of that.
Give him 65 grand. Give him something. Like he helped you win a tournament. How many tournaments have you won? You're not Tiger Woods, bro. You're not Spieth. You're not Dustin Johnson. You're like break your guy off a little something, and he's like he's even kind of doubling down on the thing. He's like, quote, this is what Kuchar said. Quote, I kind of got something. I kind of think something got in his ear. Kuchar told Golf.com. on Wednesday. I was very clear and very upfront on Tuesday of the tournament week and said, okay, he had the ability with the bonuses to make up to $4,000. Ortiz and Kuchar had apparently set up a sliding payment scale based on where Kuchar finished for the week. On the PGA Tour, it's normal to pay 5% for the made cut, 7% for a top 10, 10% for a regular caddy. However, Ortiz was not his regular caddy. I don't know. Would you now Matt Kuchar, you know, he's going to be known for being cheap the rest of his life. Like, you don't want to be that guy. There are a lot of things you don't want to be known for. Being cheap is one of the worst things.
A lot of things like you have to do versus what you should do.
Yeah.
Like, you should throw him 25 grand.
Yeah.
You
something,
know?
Yeah.
25 G's.
Yep.
Now, nobody can argue with 25 G's.
No, and the guy's worth $47 million. Like, dude, $25,000 is like change. It's pocket change, man. Now, I would much rather fork up, you know, I'd much rather fork up $130,000 of my $47 million that I have and not be known internationally as being a cheapskate.
Well, the thing is, you know, they had agreed, hey, I'm going to pay you $4,000.
Yeah.
Then he threw another $1,000 on top of that.
Yep. Yay.
But still.
He even acted like that was like he was doing him a favor.
This is a big deal, man.
Yeah. Come on.
An extra $1,000.
Yeah.
You wouldn't bend over to pick up $1,000.
No. Yeah. It's absolutely. Just a ridiculous that he stiffed him like that. Let me ask you this before we go to break. When tipping etiquette, what do you tip when you have bad service? Do you go like.
I start usually around. I try to start 20% and I come down based on how bad it is.
Oh, really?
I need 20% is the max. It's not the max you could earn, but it's usually my limit.
Okay. See, I overtip. I got to stop overtipping.
Yeah, yeah, it comes down when the service is bad or the food is bad.
Like, what's the lowest you've ever tipped?
Oh, I've stiffed someone before.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've stiffed somebody like twice.
And it was for
like
a reason.
Really bad.
Yeah.
But like for years, I overtipped. I usually tip like 30% sometimes. And for years, I would tip people like 20 if they did a bad job. I'm like, I got to stop doing this.
Yeah, Greenville waitresses, look out for Jeff Pantry.
Yeah, I'll hook you up. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but now I'm starting finally. Like, if I get really terrible service, I'll give you like 10%. But I'll still give you something, unless if you're just absolutely horrible, then I'll stiff you. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap up the show, and a familiar face, a familiar voice, will be coming back to baseball. Who is it? We'll tell you on the other side. All right, we're done. Another fast show. Thank you, as always, for the participation. Before we get out of here, I saw this today as well. Looks like Chris Berman's going to announce some Red Sox games. Yeah, I got this. Where'd I get this from? Barstool. Chris Berman has been picked by the Boston Red Sox. He's going to announce a few of their games. He's going to do some color. That's pretty cool. I'm actually a Chris Berman fan.
I love Chris Berman doing baseball.
Yeah. Me too. A lot of people hate him. I'd say if you talk to 10 sports fans, I'd say about 8 of them would say they hate Chris Berman. Not me. I've always been a fan of his. I've watched NFL Countdown for 25 years, prime time. I like him as a baseball play-by-play thing. He does a good job. The back thing doesn't bother me like it bothers other people. I'm down with Chris
I love Berman. The nicknames, you know, Edgar Trailers for Sale or Renteria.
Oh,
I love
great.
It.
Yeah, man. I'm totally on board with that. I'm still not going to watch the Red Sox because I hate them. But, yeah, Chris Berman, congratulations to you. That's pretty cool. I'm totally down for that. I guess that's it. We are done. Thank you. Thank you very much, Diesel. Thanks as always. Thank you to Sturge for letting us sit in today. We've been holding down the fort for Sturge.
Holding the fort.
Oh, holding the fort. That's right.
In Old English.
Yes. Yeah. We've gotten rid of the down because the King's English says to get rid of the down. We're just holding the actual fort. So thank you to Sturge. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the texts. Thanks for the tweets. Thanks for the love. Oh, especially on Valentine's Day. You got to thank everybody for the love. We love you guys. And we will see you guys tomorrow at 1. Be good to each other.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.